Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. I am Kyle alongside with Adam, and today we are continuing our Coaches Championship Series, The Journey. And today we're joined by a special guest, Coach Sean Culver, out in Dakota Ridge High School in Littleton, Colorado. Sean, how you doing today?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, we're excited to have you on here. I think there's a lot of things you're going to be able to bring to the table and share in your journey with coaches that will really kind of help them along the way. So if you don't mind, give us a little bit of background about your experience in coaching and where you've been at and, you know, kind of what led you to where you're at now.
Absolutely. It all starts at the high school I coach at currently. I was a Dakota Ridge basketball player. I was a first team all state kid there and ended up getting a chance to play in college. Kind of undersized, overlooked my whole career. Not many looks out of high school, but did get a scholarship to play at Western Nebraska Community College in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And a pretty cool journey for me as far as coaches go. I played for Coach Jeff Perriott, who's now the head coach at Erie here in Colorado. Huge mentor for me. And then I played in JUCO for two different Hall of Fame coaches. So Ron Drillhart was at Western Nebraska. He's in the JUCO Hall of Fame. And then Kevin O'Connor's in the Hall of Fame just this year from North Platte Community College. So I played at both those junior colleges in my journey of trying to play at the next level, and then got a chance to finish playing up at Dickinson State, North Dakota, where I was a team captain and point guard and played for another coaching mentor, Ty Orton. So just in that short span, I'd played for 4 awesome coaches. I didn't know it was exactly what I wanted to do, but after playing for Ty Orton and playing point guard and just kind of seeing the game in that light, he encouraged me to coach, and I stayed on for a year at Dickinson State University on staff. And then from there, got the opportunity to go down to Texas A&M Kingsville, a D2 school in the Lone Star Conference. And I was a grad assistant and learned all the ins and outs of college coaching through Coach Pete Peterson. You're low on the totem pole. You do all the dirty work. You stay up late. You're up early. We break down film. We learn how to practice plan. But I feel like that experience was just huge in my success as a coach so far, just setting the groundwork for what it really takes to grind and to work hard and to break down film and stay up late and watch games. And I was on the road a ton recruiting all by car, driving all over Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Colorado. But just a really cool coaching experience. If it was my scout, we'd have to be on Pete's front porch at 6 a.m., 2 days before the game. He'd have to have that all in a manila envelope. Everything was in order. He just really made me pay attention to detail, too. So then when I finally got the chance to be a head coach at the varsity level, it felt like I had a really good base under me. And then, I don't want to discredit that either. I was coaching in Texas. I finished up. I started coaching some high school ball in Portland, Oregon. and then got the opportunity to come home to Dakota Ridge. And Coach Curry Utsi was a huge coaching mentor for me. And I was under him for 6 years as the JV coach at Dakota Ridge. So he taught me everything about leading a varsity program. And he ran a great program, and he's still a coaching mentor of mine. He coaches at Thunder Ridge, which has won a couple state titles, more than that, actually. And he's been a part of those. And yeah, so then, you know, being at Dakota Ridge, it kind of means the world to me. I grew up in the area. I work at the elementary school that feeds into Dakota Ridge, and I've been a Dakota Ridge Eagle my whole life. And so I got the opportunity 6 years ago to take over the varsity program. And, you know, we're just trying to get better every year. I'm one of those guys that I would like to think I'm a constant learner. I pride myself on not being stuck in my ways and really adapting my coaching to the type of players we have and the type of kids we have each year. That's kind of my dream.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And for our coaches that haven't been out there before, Dakota Ridge has a fantastic campus, and your view out there is incredible because, you know, on one side you're over there and you're kind of, you could almost, if you go up a little bit, you can see Red Rocks. You're not too far from Red Rocks. You all have your graduation at Red Rocks Amphitheater, which is amazing. And then you're go out to the fields outside the basketball gymnasium and you can see downtown Denver. And you got this incredible panoramic view out there, and it's just a really great community. And, you know, I know you're proud to be a part of that. And some of the things that you've accomplished and you've built over the past couple of years, Sean, you've won 24 league games in a row, which is incredible because I know you all play in a very competitive conference with a lot of great competition out there. You've won back-to-back league titles, and you've been to back-to-back Elite Eights in the state tournament. So tell us a little bit about these past couple of years. With this success that you have, what do you see as the catalyst for that? What allowed you to kind of get on this run that you've been on?
You know, I think starts early on with building a program and, you know, building connections with kids. We take great pride in connecting with our youth. You know, our youth camp is awesome. Our varsity players work it. Even our youth feeder teams, we have a couple of varsity players each year coach one of those. So I think early on when you're building a program, that was huge for us to really, you know, get our feet on the ground and meet the elementary schools and meet kids and then meet community and meet families. And I think it's just a culmination of all the years that we've put into kind of building this program. We're starting to kind of see the fruits of our labor per se, in which now we're getting better basketball players. That they're bought into Dakota Ridge. They know our expectations, how we want to play. I'm the type of coach too. I think, you know, each year you should look at what kind of guys you have and what strengths you have. And that'll kind of determine what kind of system or how you want to play. And we found at Dakota Ridge, you know, we're not the biggest, we're not the most athletic, but we definitely try to play to our strengths each year. And, you know, that's sharing the ball, playing fast. And when we've shot a lot of threes, I think over like probably the past four seasons, we've broken the record each year for the amount of 3-point attempts we've taken. And, you know, it's something we do really well. So we kind of play to that. But I have great kids. I got great support from my administration. We have great community support. And then, you know, you get a group of kids that are willing to be vulnerable and willing to be coached hard. You mentioned Red Rocks. Like, we run Red Rocks once a week. In the preseason conditioning, we run stairs there, and you know, you'll hear the guys complain here and there. I'll tell them to take a second. Just look at this. Like, people pay to come money or pay money to come here and work out, and we get to do it for free. You know, they roll their eyes at me as we're like sprints. But I do that with them. You know, I feel like our culture, our basketball culture at Dakota Ridge is really strong, and as much as I can, I jump in, still play a bunch with them. I do a lot of the preseason conditioning with them. Kind of show that we're all in this together, and we're really trying to build a tough atmosphere of basketball, because we know we've talked about it a lot that, you know, we don't care how much we score, but when we go on the road or we go in tough playoff games, if we can get stops, if we can be dogs, short of that Shaka Smart mentality of just, we're going to be hungry every single possession on defense, the rest will kind of take care of itself. And I think our core values as a program have really started to display year in, year out. And now we're getting kids that just, They know Dakota Ridge basketball. They play unselfish. They play to their strengths, and they know they're going to get coached hard. And, you know, being a former college coach, we take pride in sending guys to the next level. Like, we just had a player this week. He hit the transfer portal from BMI, a Division I school, and he just signed at University of Northern Colorado Greeley. So excited for Tayshaun Jackson. And we've sent a couple different players each year to the next level. And we take pride in that and our player development. And then, you know, touching on you guys, Kyle, one of the first talks you gave our whole athletic program, I was inspired. We met, we chatted after. I've been a constant user of Lead 'Em Up. I use it every season. We lead a lot of practices with it. Your language is something that's intertwined throughout our basketball culture. You know, kids love to be verified. Kyle and I even had a great Zoom talk about determining captains, and our guys love it. I feel like they compete each week to be a captain. We lean on our seniors for leadership, those circles of like rotating conversations with younger kids about stuff they've taken away from Dakota Rich basketball. Just to touch on a few, like the followership series this year was awesome. We brought up, we have a league MVP on our team. He's a junior, really good player, Ethan Berninger. He was league MVP this year as a junior, averaged like 24 points a game, unstoppable. And we brought him up with like a freshman on JV, you know, and we have done that little activity. The freshman confronts Ethan about something he should do. And to see like Ethan's first reaction of like, shut up, Trent. You know, to then like turn it around and like actually buy in and listen was really, really cool. And I mean, we do a lot of it. Go for gold. Our kids loved that. We build connections. You'll hear some claps. We post up our standards and stuff that you helped us print out. And I just feel like that combined with getting really good assistant coaches and then getting kids that have been in our youth program and like our youth summer camps that I run. And even like we do like a sharpshooter camp in the spring. And I think all that, sorry, a long way to your answer, but as now we're seeing some really good success at this level. And, you know, it's a, we're just trying to get better each and every day. And now we're gaining a basketball culture and a notoriety in the area too, that like, if you're pretty good at basketball, then you should maybe consider Dakota Ridge.
Sean, fantastic stuff, man. And I love the consistency of the success that you're generating in the program. I mean, undefeated in the league this year, right?
Yes, sir.
I think I've read that. You know, obviously the consecutive 24 games, as Kyle alluded to. Let's go to the beginning of the season here. Obviously, you had success last year. So you come into this year. What are the expectations outward, not your inward expectations, but what did the public think? I mean, did you bring back a stacked roster? Was it a rebuild going into this year? Where was your team entering into this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be brutally honest with you guys. We were at a summer camp last year. I'm with my main assistant, Jerome, you know, and it's you're in the building process. So we had lost, great question. Last year we had 10 guys on the team and we lost 9 of them. So 9 were seniors. So we were in what we thought was, you know, no experience coming back except for Ethan. We knew Ethan could go. He's the kid that was a second team All-State kid this year, and league MVP. But other than that, everyone else was unknown. And, you know, we definitely were in the, you know, the, oh man, the stage this summer. And then in the fall, we got some momentum. We got a couple transfers. We got one that transferred in before the start of the year. And then we got another transfer that came in midway through. But yeah, our expectations outward were, yeah, we're pretty down. It's a rebuild year. Dakota Ridge isn't going to be very good. And, but we kind of bought into that too. We're not a big, even inward, we're not a big team of goals. We're actually, I worked with Kimmy Gilbert a lot, a big motivational guy. And, yeah, we actually love the term burn your goals. We just show up and try to be as great as we can at that first drill in practice. And that's all we're thinking about. Getting that first stop when the tip goes up. So yeah, the expectations around us weren't very high. And, you just saw a group of guys that had been in our program though, like all the kids that were coming to varsity had played JV, had been at my practices, you know, the year prior. So knew our expectations, knew how to play hard, play tough, play together. And, yeah, we took some early losses, and I'm always a big proponent of like, I want our team to be the best they can at the end of the year. And sometimes that means taking some tough L's, and we take them down to Texas every year and get beat up. And usually, you know, we played like a 5-star last year that went to Houston, JoJo, and you know, like we'll lose by 20, 30 down there. And, you know, the guys are like, oh, it's kind of, you know, kind of eye opening, but then you come back here and play some of the schools here and it kind of gives you a sense of confidence. So love to be battle tested early. We took some tough losses early, but then when league hit, we were starting to hit our stride, and we really came together as a group. We were a 12 seed. We went on the road to play the 5 seed this year up at Silver Creek and went up there and had a big upset win. We were the only team outside of the top 8 in both 5A, 6A to make it to the Elite 8. So I was really proud of our guys for that too.
So Sean, when you, I'm trying to go through my mind right now of all the teams that I've worked with. I don't think I've ever been part of a team where there would be 10 players in total and 9 of them being seniors. Like, I mean, just even the math, right? 90% of your roster, all seniors. I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
So it, I can only imagine the thought process going into this year of just knowing how new of a team that you have, you know. Yes, they've been in the program as you pull some guys up from JV, but as it relates to playing together and the familiarity of one another's game is all, it's all brand new. And then you bring in transfers, it's all brand new. Is there anything you did differently this year? Did you start anything sooner? Did you find yourself being more intentional in a specific area, recognizing the newness of this team, the uniqueness of this new roster? Is there anything you can point back that, hey, you know what? I did make a conscious decision because of that uniqueness to do this or to do that.
Yeah, great question. You know, it was big just for last year too. When you think about 9 seniors, having programs like Lead 'Em Up and leadership and creating buy-in and creating like everyone's a part of this, so that you don't get, you know, the 4 seniors that aren't playing, you know, mad at the other guys. We were really a good cohesive group, and I think just addressing it. Yes, absolutely. So this year there were some different things. We really were intentional with team building, with conversations, with one-on-one talks too. And then something we do, maybe I kind of feel it out during the year when we do it, but this year was much earlier, in which we sit down, JV and varsity players and all the coaching staff, and we sort of do a round table discussion, and we have other players comment and give input on what players are doing well and what players need to work on. And then it also gives everyone at the table all together a chance for them to hear the coaches on what we feel their role is right now and what they can contribute to the year. So those round table discussion, we usually just do it once a year, but like that happened much earlier this year, because early on, you know, we're getting to know each other and they might not know, like, is this a good 3 for me? Is this not? So we were really intentional with trying to create roles. We even talk about within our own team, you know, as far as who gets to shoot, we talk about green light, yellow light, red light. We'll have them kind of test into those categories sometimes and sort of see them shoot at practice. And we'll have individual talks with guys about, like, you know, right now you're kind of at the yellow light. You know, we'll take wide open looks from you, probably not a contested step back. You know, the red lights, we want you to catch and drive and attack. And our green lights, you know, they know anytime they can see the rim, it's a good look. So, yeah, I think that was huge. The team building, like down when we were in Texas, we do an intentional activities, like took them on a par 3 course, a glow golf in the middle of the night. We played partner games at the house, keeping score on different things, just trying to be like forced fun. We use that word sometimes, you know, make them like each other. And just so putting them in those situations, especially on the road, was huge for us.
Yeah, I think that reminds me of those shirts, Sean. Forced family fun. Have you ever seen those online?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, like at a reunion or something.
They're all holding hands with their family, and it's like forced family fun.
Yep, that's us. That's us. Yeah. So, you know, I think too, just the getting kids to buy into that drive of being verified is something that is just, without saying it, kids then can kind of have something to like compete for every day at practice too, as far as how they carry themselves. Because we're, you know, at Dakota Ridge, we talk a lot about student, person, player. And we put our guys in situations where they can be leaders off the court. And that's in the building, but that's also in the community, you know, filling food bags or volunteering at our youth camp. Or, you know, we've done just a variety of community service events where they get a chance to give back and serve. They've come down to my elementary school a bunch. I had my 6'7" kid jumped in the Powderhorn Panther mascot, you know, last year, got it on the ground and scaring kids. And so I feel like our community is really strong there, and Lead 'Em Up too. I just can't say enough good things about how it's helped our program on and off the court.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness, and this is today's leadership nugget. Be crazy and set some wacky ambitions and dreams. Don't worry if your adventure, dreams, ambitions look totally different from others, even more crazy. One crazy one was set by Truett Cathy with his goal of being closed on Sundays, closing on the busiest day of the week in the restaurant business. He then called it his best business decision he ever made. That doesn't even make sense. Irrational. Yet he had purpose behind his adventure. He wanted people to get some guaranteed rest each week. He wanted to glorify God by giving his team time to worship if they chose on this day. He wanted to honor his life principle of a good name over great riches. Have fun thinking outside of the box with purpose. Maybe thinking bigger than even achievable in this lifetime. It may be the best decision you ever make. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear all those things that you're making in that intentional effort towards. And one of the things that you mentioned that you do throughout the year, I think some coaches might be able to learn from this. Share with us a little bit more, Sean. You said you have intentional one-on-one talks. Is that between athlete and coach? Is that between the athletes? What do you do there?
Yeah, it's between coaches. So coach and athlete. And so it's Monday. Monday on my practice plan, on the bottom right, we'll have individual talks, and we'll just kind of get a feel. But we always try to touch on everyone once every couple weeks. But if something we feel like we can touch on individually, we'll do just individual check-ins. So we break, and then we'll say, Ethan, stick around, and then we'll pull Elijah, and we'll just do a quick 5-minute check-in. Another thing I love to do on like bus trips is we have the guys all put their phone away. So they put their phone in the duffel bag that I carry at the front, but then they're forced to talk. And then also during that bus trip, I'll do individual talks where I'll get a chance to talk to each kiddo 5 minutes up front. I just feel like they really value that opportunity of like, my guard's down, I'm vulnerable. Like, tell me what you think of me as a coach. What do you think about it as a player? What do you think about our program? How can I help you be better? What can we grow at? So I think those different things, just being open book and being able to have kids feel like they can really talk to you is great, because if we develop that relationship, then I feel like I can coach them harder and I can get on them a little more. And, we can be aggressive and in how we talk to them. However, I will say over the years, I played for some old school coaches and I coached under some old school coaches. And even for me, I've noticed I'm just much more calm in games, halftime speeches. In mid-game, I for a young coaches out there, I remember being like a first-year coach and pressure and you're feeling the fire and I'm screaming at my team to calm down, in which I'm not being calm one bit, And now here I am. I'm a counselor. I work in feelings. I work with helping kids calm down. I feel like this every year I get a little better. To my credit, too, I've only gotten one technical in my coaching career, just for my antics. It wasn't anything I said. But I feel like every year I just try to act how I want my players to play, which is with this calm confidence, not this freak out, I'm going to scream at you to get more out of you, but like, hey, do your thing. Like, you're built for this. We're good. And then this year too, one of the big games against Green Mountain, we were down 10, maybe 15 first half, and we call a timeout, and there Green Mountain has a huge student section in our school. They're going nuts. And I just remember in our huddle, like, hey, like, you guys want to just call it? Should we just shake hands? If it's over, I'm good. Or we can compete. It's up to you guys, sort of thing. Not like, y'all suck. We need to do like it was. We're really trying to emulate like just play relaxed. I think we get way more out of kids when they play confident, they play relaxed, and they really just want to play hard for you.
Yeah. No. I mean, well said. And Sean, remember, your body language is always talking. So yes, you didn't say anything on that technical, but your body language.
That's right. That's right.
Spoke for you.
That's right.
Sean, you said earlier, your goal is always to get your teams to be playing their best when it matters most. And I think most coaches want that upward momentum as the season is ending, getting into playoff time. Let's get to that point of the season for you. Is that where you were? Was your team at their best when it was mattering most? How did the season end? right, from a momentum standpoint, as you then entered into playoff time?
Yeah, I was pumped. We dealt with some sickness, some injury, but I felt like as a whole, yeah, I felt really confident. I love where we're at with the state tournament, being the 12 seed. We do this like little mini tournament at the end of the year that doesn't count for anything towards league, but it just gives you two extra games. And we took a tough loss. Green Mountain got us at home, and no excuses there. But I felt like even just that was like a great learning experience for us, and realizing like any given night, anyone can win, and you have to show up. And like they knew that all year, you know, you got to show up every single time. But going to the playoffs, yeah, I felt really good. We always try to like keep a scrimmage too against a superior opponent before we go into the playoffs. So that leading up, when you have a full week to prepare for someone, I really like playing like a really good aggressive school that's bigger than us and scrimmaging them. And I feel like that prepares us for the playoffs. Now we got into the playoffs and we got those first two wins, and we ended up seeing Mesa Ridge again, who is the eventual state champions again. Same team we lost to last in Elite Eight. We had a completely different team, but it was sort of the same result game. And I wouldn't have changed anything. I just feel like Mesa Ridge is just on a tear, and they just had two guards that could really, really go. Their center hit a bunch of threes on us. And I mean, they run a great, great program. They're back-to-back state champions. And once again, we just couldn't find a way to get over that hump, but we're not quitting. We're not stopping there. We're excited to be back and grind again for next year. We lost four seniors, but we reload and bring a lot of great kids back, and obviously bring the league MVP back.
Yeah. And your league championship though, you had to win that to get to the states. Is that how that works?
No, it's all based on just top 32 teams. So okay. RPI. Okay. Yep. Yep. Seeding index RPI. Yeah. So we were in, so they seed you 1 through 32, and we were the 12.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Mesa Ridge. Oh man. A little bit. I mean, 2 years in a row, have they historically been, or are they just on a recent tear?
Recent tear. Yeah. And I mean, how cool for that coach. I got a chance to talk with him a little before our last game, and you know, this is his first 2 years as their varsity coach. And the first year they go 28-0 as the first year he's there and win a state title. And then, they come back and they had like two losses maybe this year, but I mean, just talk about a physical, aggressive team. Like how I talked about how we want to play defense, that's how Mesa Ridge plays defense. And they are just flying around, and that type of defense really travels at the Coliseum, and they force you into tough shots. And they jumped out on us early and then just kept the lead the whole game. We battled back, we fought back in the third quarter, but they just play super aggressive. So a lot to learn. You know, I'm a film junkie. I watch a ton of film. I feel like I learned that from previous coaches. And then also you listen to athletes like Tom Brady and stuff like that about how much film they watch. I use Huddle, just multiple resources as a coach. But I want to touch on too, I use PGC. I'm a coaching like membership guy there at PGC. So constantly and taking stuff from them. But yeah, I use Huddle, and we show clips, we show game film, we watch a lot of ourselves, we watch a lot of our opponents. I will say I still haven't watched the full Mesa Ridge game yet, our last one. I had it on with my son Cannon. We were watching the first quarter, and you know, he knows our team in and out. He's 7. He's at practice, he's at games, he's on the bus. And there was like one way through. I don't even know if he knew that it was like a replay. It felt like he kind of was watching like it was live. And at one point he was like, "Come on, Ethan." And you know, I was like, "Yeah, I feel you, Cannon. I feel you." And I like shut the computer. I was like, "Okay, I got through a quarter, so I'm not quite there yet, but I'll watch it when it's all done."
Moon is still fresh.
That's right.
It takes a little time there.
Yes, it does.
Well, you know, Sean, as we begin to kind of wrap up here a little bit, every journey is, you know, in our world of coaching, especially in the high school space, it's ongoing, it's continuous. And as you closed out these, you know, historic seasons at Dakota Ridge, back-to-back historic seasons, and you've had a little bit of time to like step away, debrief, catch your breath, what are you looking forward to most? And what is one of the top priorities for you to maintain the level of success and excellence that you've built? What's kind of your focus now as you're entering these off season months?
Yeah, I think, you know, we really lean on connection. I mean, I'm in this work because I love kids. I love hoops. I joke that, you know, I work with elementary kids during the day. I coach high school kids after school, and then I go home to my 4 and 7 year old. So, I mean, my day is filled with kids. And I think just keeping the big picture in perspective of like just really loving on kids and making sure that Dakota Ridge basketball, if you come and play for Dakota Ridge, it means something. You're going to come back to games. We're going to have a relationship that will last a lifetime. I think for me, I really just lean into, I'm excited about our youth camps coming up, our summer youth camp. Even at the elementary school level, like, you know, working at a feeder elementary school now, building those connections and those relationships, and just really leaning into our why this year. Like the day we played Green Mountain, it's our Think Pink game. So bring cancer awareness to people. And we actually took our varsity team that day to visit cancer patients at Lutheran Hospital. And like moments like that are my why, like seeing our boys just be young men and young leaders off the court and knowing that we have a chance to develop great young men when they leave Dakota Ridge is something that I just lean on. Like that when they come and volunteer here and read with kids and to see the joy on my little elementary kids' faces when those players walk in and how excited they get to be able to be around Dakota Ridge basketball players, I think it sort of all puts it in perspective for me. You know, obviously the games are great, the competition's awesome, but I think keeping my big picture and my why of, you know, doing the right work and putting kids in a position to be leaders and compete at the highest level is something that sort of just gets me excited every offseason. You know, you never know what team you're going to have. You never know how good you're going to be, but at least, you know, you're going to have good kids and you're going to love on kids and make sure that their experience at Dakota Ridge is awesome. And yeah, you know, so now we're in the exciting planning stages. We're signed up for a spring league where we'll roll it out and kind of see what we got. And I don't like to call sets during those spring leagues. I like to see them sort of fend for themselves and see what they're good at, what they're not good at, what shots they're willing to take, not take, and sort of not overcoach and really let them sort of show me what we're working with as we go into some summer tournaments and stuff like
that. Yeah, good stuff, Sean. You know, one of the things that I'm reminded of throughout kind of like your story here of the past couple of years is just the commitment that you have in the focus to build connections in relationships. And then, you know, you alluded to it at several different times is that that's the core of your program. And it's what allows you to do what you do and to get the players to elevate their performance. So, you know, I think that's just a great reminder for everyone is you can never go wrong with loving on your players and building your people. And the byproduct of that is always going to be elevating their performance. So I want to commend you for that and the fantastic work that you're doing. And you can really see the fruits of your efforts paying off there, Sean.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. And, you know, I think too, I want to mention too, a couple of things where we got, you know, my main assistant, Nathan Jerome, there was like 3 years ago, he was just a buddy. And, you know, I knew he had some coaching experience, but I could have just wrote him or called him or texted him. But I sent this formal email invite or email job offer, like acting like I had never met him and just wanting to take our program to the next level. And thank goodness he accepted, because it's like certain things like that, like lead him up. And then also we hired some individual strength people too. And I think taking our strength and conditioning to the next level are all just constant kind of growing, learning things that I think other coaches would love to hear about, that we tried to hire better people. We brought in a strength coach. We use Lead 'Em Up. We use PGC. And I think just keeping that mentality of we're not set in our ways. We're constant learners. We want to grow and learn just like we want our kids to grow and learn is huge for other coaches out there. And just wanted to kind of drop that in there. And I can't thank my administration enough too, because they let me just, you know, do what we need to do for basketball, and they support it. And they give us freedom, and they also give us unreal feedback, and also, you know, like positive resources like Lead 'Em Up that our admin helps support.
I mean, Sean, the reality is, I mean, that's just the way of the sports programs these days. Also, I want to just kind of illustrate that and just emphasize you're doing it the right way. You look at all successful programs, and it really is this holistic approach, right? Where there is strength and conditioning expertise being brought in. There's leadership resources being brought in. There's coaching resources, i.e. PGC in this case, right? And you're really kind of capturing this holistic approach to being your best. And you know, programs are a lot more sophisticated. They're mirroring these collegiate level programs more and more than ever before. And it sounds like you, not all coaches do it because there's still a lot that are hanging on to their egos of this is how I've always done it. I'm just going to do my own thing and just kind of, I've had success before. I don't need to go to these other avenues. I don't need to work with these other groups. And Sean, that is not the case for you, right? It is pretty clear that each year you continue to evaluate. What do I need to tap into? Where can I grow here? What do I need to begin utilizing? How can I add and add and add to my program? And it sounds like you've done a great job with that. And in turn, you've now landed in this place where you sound like you've got this holistic, all-encompassing program that is operating at a high, high level right now.
That means a lot. Thanks, Adam. It's cool to hear that. I never really looked at it like that, but yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's super fun. You know, I always say too, I don't know how I would give up coaching. There's nowhere else that I get those pregame butterflies. You know, I even play in men's leagues. That's fun. That's cool. But when that anthem hits at Dakota Ridge in the nest and I feel that feeling in my body and my stomach, it's just really cool to be a part of. I always say that, you know, I'm just a part of these guys' team. So I'm always thankful and grateful that I get to be in this position.
Well, Sean, we're thankful for you and the great work that you're doing to impact lives and how you've really leaned in to lead them up over the past couple of years and incorporate it with your guys. And it's really cool to see that success that you're having. And I'm excited to continue to be a part of that with you all out there and to see what you're going to do this next year. But
I said I'm a big burn my goals guy, but that doesn't mean that I don't think about winning a state title. You know,
right.
We always want to get there. We want to end our season 1 year with a win. That's
no doubt. No doubt. Well, we appreciate your time today and everything that you're doing to build the championship program out at Dakota Ridge. And I think you shared a lot that coaches can be reminded of that they can do in their own programs to get to that level. So for Adam, I'm Kyle, and Sean, our great guest today, we are Lead 'Em Up. Have fun, and we'll see you again.